Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. That's a good song to remember when we come to the study of Islam and just trusting God with the truth and for protection. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your protection, Lord. We thank you that we've also sang tonight about that you're always alert, always there to help us in our outward need. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. How many of you young people know Greek? Anyone? No? How many of you young people know Hebrew, the Hebrew language? None. I want to ask the adults. It'd be about the same, probably. Some of you maybe have had some Greek. I don't know about Hebrew, but tonight we're looking at something. The Bible talks about salvation as something that a child can understand. And here we're going to talk about something that a child can understand. A child could prove that the Quran is wrong. And I'll show you by the end of tonight how a child could do that. All we must do is read the Word of God. We're down to contradiction number 11. With the Quran. This is between the Bible and the Quran. Remember what Muhammad said. And let me quote it for you. In the Quran, it's Surah 3, verses 3 and 4. A surah is a chapter. So, surah or chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. In the Quran, it says this: It is He who sent down to thee step by step in truth the book. And the book here is referring to the Quran. Confirming what went before it. Okay, what does the Quran supposedly confirm that went before it? Well, it goes on to say, He sent down the law of Moses, so referring to the Old Testament, and the gospel of Jesus, referring to the New Testament, before this as a guide to mankind. So, Muhammad said, wrote down in the Quran, that the Quran is nothing more but further revelation from God. Confirming what went before it, that is the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we have begun to see how that just is not the case. Remember also what Muhammad said in Surah 582. He says, Nearest among them in love to the believers wilt thou find those who say, We are Christians. Because amongst these Christians, are men devoted to learning. And men who have renounced the world, and they are not arrogant. So Muhammad, on one hand, really respected the Christians because of those three things. He said, they're men devoted to learning, they're men who have renounced the world, and they are not arrogant. You can talk with these people. So he admired Christians in that sense. And so we're going to hold Muhammad to his words. We are going to be God's people of learning tonight. We're going to see whether indeed the Quran confirms the word of God or whether it actually proves that it's false and that it contradicts the Bible. So we were into four specific contradictions. One of those was Abraham's father. It calls him Azar instead of Terah. That's a contradiction to Scripture. Number two, we saw the Quran says Pharaoh's men performed the first miracles. That's the opposite. Moses and Aaron performed the first miracles, and they tried to copy them. The third contradiction, the Quran says that Moses did not throw down the Ten Commandments and break the stone tablets, but laid them on the ground, grabbed his brother by his hair, and dragged him around. And when he got through, He picked the Ten Commandments back up and went on his way. That is a contradiction. The Bible clearly says, and we saw not only in one place, but other place where it referred back to where he broke them. So, contradiction number four. The Quran says that every time a plague fell upon the Egyptians, they repented. Let me read here in Surah 7, verses 133 and 134. So we sent plagues on them. Every time the penalty fell on them, they said, O Moses, on our behalf, call on thy Lord in virtue of his promise to thee. If thou wilt remove the penalty from us, we shall truly believe in thee, and we shall send away the children of Israel with thee. So it says, every time the penalty fell on them, they repented. That's what the Quran says. Well, what does the Bible say? Exodus 7. Exodus 7. You know, the way to win the Muslim is just like the way to win everyone that's lost without Christ. We have to show them the Word. It's the power of the Word. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we've got to show them what the Bible says. Show them what the Quran says. The Quran says that it's in the line just confirming what is written before, and show them how it doesn't confirm but contradicts. Exodus 7, verse 17. Exodus 7, 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with a rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to what? To blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be a blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. I don't see anywhere there where he repented, do you? He hardened his heart. Isn't it something how when you serve the devil, it only makes your life more miserable? You notice in verse 22, instead of turning the waters that were made blood back to water, drinkable water, what'd they do? Well, they just did the same thing. Verse 22, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They didn't help, they only made matters worse. So Pharaoh didn't repent, verse 23. It says nothing about any of the Egyptians repenting there at all. Pharaoh also did not repent when the dust was turned into lice. Notice in Exodus 8, Exodus 8. So remember, the Quran says every time a plague came upon them, the Egyptians repented. Well, they did not when the water was turned to blood. Secondly, they did not when the dust was turned to lice. Exodus 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Can you imagine that? If it wasn't bad enough, I mean, the lice are like, you know, dust. There's so many of them, and they try to turn more dust into lice. Talk about making your life more miserable. Well, that's what the devil does, though. He does. So there were lice upon man and beast. Verse 19, and the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Did Pharaoh repent? No. And Pharaoh's heart was what? Hardened. And he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. He did not repent. So when the water was turned to blood, He did not repent. But the Quran says every time a plague came down, he repented. Not so. Not when the water turned to blood, not when the dust was turned to lice. Also look in chapter 9. Chapter 9. When the cattle died, Pharaoh did not repent. Exodus 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent. And behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was what? Hardened, not repentant. It was hardened. And he did not let the people go. So here once again, this is the third plague. Pharaoh did not repent, but the Quran says at every plague they repented. It's proving the Quran is not in the line of Old Testament, New Testament, Quran confirming what went before it. It contradicts what went before it. Another one, the plague of the boils. Look in chapter 9, verse 8. Chapter 9, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and there shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened what? Not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So, 4 out of the 10 plagues, that's almost half. 4 out of the 10 plagues, there was no semblance of repentance on the part of Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. And yet, as I mentioned to you, the Quran says, every time a plague come down, the Egyptians repented. That was not so. Almost half of the time they did not. Now remember what Muhammad said in Surah 582? Nearest among them in love to the believers wilt thou find those who say we are Christians. Because amongst these are men devoted to learning and men who have renounced the world and they are not arrogant. So if we are devoted to learning from God's word, what we find is that the Quran is not a confirmation of the word of God, but a contradiction to the word of God. Over and over and over. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, when we prove all things, we find out that the Bible's true and the Quran is false. So, we need to be noble Christians, and we just simply need to point this out to the Muslims. Let's go to point number 5 here. And now we're going to go to what I talked about with the children. The children's favorite stories in the Old Testament is about Joseph. Even little children can tell you in quite detail about Joseph and what happened. Now, I want you to notice very carefully tonight from the Quran, even a child could prove the Quran is wrong. Let's go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Even a child who's paid attention in Sunday school and been taught the Bible in the home and read the Bible could find many errors in what we're about to see. Genesis 39, and first of all, I want to read to you what the Quran says about Potiphar's wife and Joseph. This is in the Quran, Surah 12, verses 21 through 29, in that section. The man in Egypt who bought him said to his wife, make his stay among us honorable. Thus did we establish Joseph in the land, but she, in whose house he was, sought to seduce him. So they both raced each other to the door, and she tore his shirt from the back. Now, as you read on in the Quran, it does not say she tore his shirt off from him. But does she tore his shirt. Okay, what does the Bible say here in chapter 39, verse 7? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now it's obvious by verse 12, it just said nothing there about ripping his garment. He just left his garment in her hand. I don't know exactly what he had on. Sometimes this word garment is used for like a vest. It could have been like a vest of some sort. Whatever it was, he got out of it quickly, left it in her hand, and he got out of there. He ran. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that is standing, make the devil flee. But the Bible says, flee fornication. You stand against the devil. And I know we have prayed and fasted, and we have seen the devil rise up downtown with these boys in black. But you don't run from the devil. You stand against him in the power of the Word of God, just like Jesus did in Matthew 4. But when it comes to fornication, you don't, in lust, you don't stand there and try to resist it. You get out of there. And that's what Joseph did. He ran. So she did not rip a piece out of his garment, anything like that. He just left his garment in her hand, and he was out of there. So this is one contradiction right here. Another one, the same incident here. The Quran says, let me read it to you here again. But she in whose house he was sought to seduce him. So they both raced each other to the door, and she tore his shirt from the back, the back side. They both found her Lord near the door. She said, "What is the fitting punishment for one who formed an evil design against thy wife, but prison or a grievous chastisement?" So the Quran has them racing for the door. She rips his garment, and the door, I don't know which one, I guess Joseph, they were both racing for the door, but obviously she wouldn't want to open the door. She'd want to keep it closed. So obviously he's the one that opened the door. And who should they find outside but her husband? And so she says, you know, what should we do to a guy like this who tries to seduce, you know, the wife of the man of the house? Now, what does the Bible say here? Genesis 39 and verse 12. Genesis 39, 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled for, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until what? His Lord came home. He wasn't right outside the door. This is the second contradiction. The Quran is not confirming what went before the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Quran is contradicting it. The Bible says nothing about her ripping his garment. It's like she's grabbing him, and whatever he has on, he wiggles out of it, takes off. She didn't rip it. She suddenly realized he's gone. He's escaped, and she's stuck with his garment, so she makes up this lie, and she keeps it by her until her husband gets home. Verse 16, she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. The Quran says in the racing to the door and getting the door open, her husband is standing right there. Even a child could say, well, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. So that's the second contradiction about this incident alone. Here's the third one about this incident. Let me read from the Quran here again in Surah 12, 21 through 29 in this section. Let's see here. What is the fitting, she said, what is the fitting punishment for one who formed an evil design against thy wife, but prison or a grievous chastisement? He said, this is Joseph now talking, it was she that sought to seduce me. And one of her household saw this and bore witness. Thus, if it be that his shirt is rent from the front, then is her tale true, and he is a liar. But if it be that his shirt is torn from the back, then is she the liar, and he is telling the truth. Boy, they're really adding to the story. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 22 about not adding to the word of God. So what we have is Joseph is there saying, I didn't do it, she did it. And she's saying, I didn't do it, he did it. And so there's a servant there. And this great wise servant says, ah, if the shirt is torn from the back, he was running away and she was clutching him. So she's the guilty one. But if his shirt is torn from the front, he is the guilty one because he was coming after her and she ripped his shirt. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. But anyway, let's read on. So when he, the householder, Potiphar, when he saw his shirt, that it was torn at the back, her husband said, behold, it is a snare of you women. Truly mighty is your snare. Is that what the Bible says? So now Potiphar is rebuking his wife. Is that what the Bible says? Look in Genesis 39, 17. That is not confirming the word, but contradicting it. Genesis 39, 17. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. See, there's nothing about rip on the front or the back. The Quran adds to the word of God. Verse 19, and it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his, what? Wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the what? Prison. The Quran says that Potiphar rebukes his wife because of this little test. He discerns that she was the guilty one. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says Potiphar believed his wife and threw Joseph in prison. That is the third contradiction about this one incident alone. A little child could tell you that Potiphar believed his wife and cast Joseph into prison. Even a little child could tell you the Quran is false. It's not true. It's not confirming the Bible. It's contradicting it. But there's yet another point to this. We're not through with contradictions in this one incident. Let me read once again in the Quran, Surah 12, 21 through 29. So, when he saw his shirt, that it was torn at the back, her husband said, behold, it is a snare of you women. Truly mighty is your snare. O Joseph, pass this over. O wife, ask forgiveness for thy sin, for truly thou hast been at fault. So, what we have in the Quran is Potiphar is pleading with Joseph, O Joseph, please forgive my wife. And wife, please apologize for what you've done. That is not confirming the Bible. That is contradicting what we just read. In verse 20, chapter 39, verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners was bound, and he was there in the prison. So, but we're not through yet. There's another contradiction in the Quran about this one incident alone. This is number the fifth contradiction about this one incident alone in Scripture. An incident that even children could tell you is false. And that's why I say, you know what? If you know Greek, fine. If you know Hebrew, fine. But you know what's better? Just know what the Bible says. Read it. Don't let some so-called scholar intimidate you that you're not smart enough to figure out that this is the Word of God. Don't let them intimidate you. Just read it. You'll be able to figure out what's true and false, just like in this instance. Even a child will be able to tell you what's true and what's false. So the fifth contradiction about this incident is this. The Quran says that Joseph did end up in prison, but by his own choice. And let me read it to you. In the Quran, in Surah 12, verse 30 and on following, it says this. The lady said in the city, the wife of the great Aziz, which his name is really Potiphar, so his wife is seeking to seduce her slave from his true self. We see she is evidently going astray. So the Quran says, you know, the ladies in the city, after this happened, the ladies in the city began to talk about Potiphar's wife and saying, you know what? She's got a slave, and you know what? She is falling into sin in regard to this slave. And so now it picks up with Potiphar's wife talking. It says, when she heard of their malicious talk, she sent for them and prepared a banquet for them. So when she heard what the ladies were saying in town, she had a little plan. She called all those ladies who were talking about her to come to her banquet. And she said to Joseph, come out before them. So now she's got all these ladies who are talking against her about how weak she is morally. So she calls them all in for a banquet, and now she calls Joseph to come before all of them and says this. When they, the ladies, saw him, they did extol him and said, this is none other but than a noble angel. So they're all looking at Joseph. And Joseph, the Bible says he was well-favored. He was a handsome man. So then she said, there before you is the man about whom ye did blame me. So I don't know, in the thinking of when he wrote the Quran, he is thinking, well, I'll fix these ladies, you know. Well, I'll bring in Joseph and show them just how handsome he is and, you know, make them realize they are but flesh too. She goes on, there is before you the man about whom ye did blame me. I did seek to seduce him from his true self, but he did firmly save himself guiltless. And now, if he doeth not my bidding, he shall certainly be cast into prison. What was her bidding? Well, he had a two choice. To commit immorality with her, or to go to prison and spend his life with the vilest of men, the Quran says. So he chooses prison. So he said, oh my Lord, the prison is more to my liking than that to which they invite me. Then it occurred to the men that it was best to imprison him for a time. Talk about twisting the whole story. So in the Quran, Joseph ends up in prison, not because Potiphar believed his wife. He didn't believe his wife in the Quran. But he ends up in prison because the women are talking against Potiphar's wife, and she devises this plan how to get even with him. And so in front of all of these ladies who are talking about her, she gives him a command. You either do my command or you go to prison. You either be immoral with me or you go to prison for disobeying me. So he chooses prison in the Quran. Even a child could tell you, that is false. That is false. So in verse 20, once again, Genesis 39, verse 20. Well, let's read 19 and 20 here. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Potiphar's anger was against Joseph, not against his wife, and he cast Joseph into prison. So here are five contradictions in the Quran about this one incident in Joseph's life. So, remember what Muhammad said in Surah 582? Nearest among them in love to the believers wilt thou find those who say, We are Christians. Because amongst these are men devoted to learning and men who have renounced the world and they are not arrogant. We are just trying to be the Christians that Muhammad said he respected. We are trying to be devoted to learning, to check out the Quran and see if it's right or wrong, to see if it really does confirm the Bible or if it contradicts it. And we find that it contradicts it five times alone, just in this one incident about Joseph. Remember what the Quran said about the Bible. In Surah 3, verses 3 and 4, it is He who sent down to thee step by step in truth the book, referring to the Quran, confirming what went before it, and He sent down the law of Moses and the gospel of Jesus. So it clearly says the Quran is simply in the line of Scripture, and it simply confirms the Old Testament, New Testament. That is not so. It does not confirm it. It contradicts it. Let's look at Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20. The Bible says, To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You see, if the Quran was indeed more revelation from God, it would not have contradicted the word of God. It would have confirmed it. But it does not do that. And of course, when we look in Revelation 22, we know there is no more revelation to come. Revelation 22, verse 18. We know the Bible, the last book here, closes the revelation, closes the canon, the words from God, the Holy Bible. Revelation 22, 19. Revelation 22, 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Let me back up to verse 18. I'm sorry. That's where I should have started. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And then as we read verse 19, if any man takes away from the word of God, then their part is taken away out of the book of life. So the Quran does both. It takes away from the Scripture and it adds to it. It disobeys both of these admonitions here, both of these commands. So we'll be trying to wrap this up shortly, this study, but I pray that it will give you some good ammunition here and some confidence in the Word of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious Word. We thank you indeed. It is preserved as pure as the purest silver. We thank you. You promise to preserve every word of it pure for every generation. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that so many times you reveal the truth to just the people with simple childlike faith. And Father, as we take just the story of Joseph alone and see how many contradictions are there. And Father, it's our prayer that you would open the eyes of the Muslim people. Lord, we know it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I pray, Lord, you'd help some Muslim people to be able to see the truth from your word, how that the Quran contradicts itself. Contradicts the Bible. It does not live up to its words of confirming the Bible, but definitely contradicts it. Lord, I pray that you would bring many of these precious people to Christ that today are blinded in the Muslim religion. Lord, open the eyes of our leaders of our country. Open the eyes of the people who are spreading around the world that Islam is a religion of peace. We've seen, Father, that is not true. And Lord, so many people saying that Allah and God are one and the same. Father, we've seen that clearly is not true. Lord, open the eyes of the millions of people who are lost in the Muslim religion. Open their eyes, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books if you